millions and millions and millions of people, the answer was yes. It's not far from us. I'll tell you who died in the last year. I'll tell you who died. Rosemarie. Does anybody remember Rosemarie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mary Tyler Moore. So full of life. Roger Moore, the saint. Glenn Campbell, the rhinestone cowboy. Jerry Lewis. Hugh Hefner. Well, that'll be interesting. I think he bet on the wrong horse. Al Jarreau. Anybody know who Al Jarreau is? Chuck Berry. I'm sure you know who that is. Billy Graham. Stephen Hawking, who is certain there was no heaven or hell. Well, he's had a change of heart, I'm sure. Barbara Bush. And I put down Clint Walker. Do you remember remember Cheyenne? What a big, strong man he was. Wow. And my mother, Mary Palmer. David Rockefeller died. He was a billionaire. John Doe died. John Doe was a homeless beggar who slept in the doorway of David Rockefeller's high-rise. So whether you're a billionaire or you sleep in the doorway, death comes to you. And it's going to come soon, sooner than you think. You know, yesterday I was 19. Anybody ever had that experience?
Right.
What? Sometimes I think of myself as 19. In fact, if someone asked me, how old are you? My first thought would be 19. Well, what does the Bible say about death? It says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's no reincarnation. Once to die. You know, whenever I meet people who believe in reincarnation and they're female, they always tell me, I was Cleopatra. Yeah, there's been a lot of Cleopatras that I have met. But death is certain. No one can escape it. No one can resist it. No one has an answer for it. The Muslims don't have an answer for it. Hindus, no. Atheists, no. Only one person has an answer for death. Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has a fantastically wonderful answer. An amazingly fantastic, blessed answer to the problem of death. So let's look at it. I'm going to invite you to John 8, beginning at verse 51. And it says, Jesus was arguing with some Jews, and he said, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, that if man keeps my saying, he will never see death. And then the Jews said to him, now we know you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if a man keeps my sayings, he will never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, thou shalt be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going out in the midst of them, and so passed by. So here's this amazing promise. If a man keep my saying, he will never see death. But before we consider that promise, let's consider who's making the promise. Who's Jesus? And Jesus is identifying who he is in this passage when he says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, he's not just simply saying, I preceded Abraham. Because if he was doing that, he would say, before Abraham was, I was. He didn't say, I was. He said, I am. And the Jews knew very well what he was talking about. And it's found in Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Most of us have seen the movie. And Moses said to God, so Moses comes up to this burning bush, and God speaks to him and says, you know, you're here, take off your sandals, this is holy ground. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. So now Jesus, by saying, I am, is actually saying, I was the God that spoke to Moses thousands of years ago out of the burning bush. That's who I am. I'm the one who spoke to Moses. So Jesus here claiming and his divinity. He's saying, I am God. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mm-hmm. And so here Jesus is claiming that and proclaiming that. So that's who he is. That's why he has the power that if we believe in Christ, we will live forever. That's why he and he alone has that power. And so how does he do it? How did Jesus defeat death? It's in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Because he had to defeat it. It's called the last enemy. Death is called the last enemy in the Bible. So in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, it says, forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. So the Bible is here acknowledging that we have a fear of death that can hold us in bondage our whole lifetimes. And so Jesus had to come. See, God can't die. So he had to become flesh and blood so he could die. So he became flesh and blood that through death he might destroy. Do you like that word? Destroy. You know, we say we resist the devil. Jesus doesn't resist the devil. He destroys him. Amen. Who had the power. Here, I've knocked my watch loose. Who had the power. No longer has. Jesus has the keys of death and hell. Who had the power. And if you're not sure who that is, he'll tell you. That is the devil. And deliver. Are you willing this morning to be delivered forever from the fear of death? Boy, I am. Now, the Bible says in Romans 6 that the wages of sin are death. That's why we die. But Jesus didn't sin. He was sinless. And so when he died, that death can pay for your death. It's like this. Does anyone here have a car payment? I do. Okay. A house payment, a rent payment. You know, a cell phone payment. If I took and I paid in full your car payment, and then you went down to the bank to make your payment, what would they tell you? Can't pay it. No, I've got to pay it. I'm sorry, sir, I can't take your money. It'd be unjust of me to take your money. And so, because Jesus paid the debt of everyone who receives him as Savior, it's paid in full. You can't pay it. It'd be unjust of God to require it of you. You know, there's the mercy of God and there's the justice of God. And I've been a big fan of the mercy of God. Big fan. A little bit worried about the justice of God, though. But now the justice of God is on my side. The justice of God is on your side if you've received Christ. And God's justice demands that you are free. Praise God.
Amen.
So let's look at two scriptures that might shine some more light on this. The next one is John 11, 23 through 26. And this is that great scripture, great passage where Jesus goes to raise Lazarus from the dead. And it says in verse 23, and Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. And Martha says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. He doesn't say my religion is the resurrection. He doesn't say my teaching is the resurrection. He doesn't say any of that. He says, I, me, personally. That's why you must know Christ personally, because he personally is the resurrection. So I'm going to give you a little different translation of verse 25. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though his body dies, yet shall he live. Though his body dies. Because see, the Bible teaches I'm not my body. I'm actually an eternal being. And though my body dies, I will live if I trust in Christ. The second verse is John 5:24, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. You see, the point is when we're, before we're saved, we're physically alive but dead to God. Mm-hmm. But when we get saved, we become alive to God. And we have everlasting life. We don't get everlasting life when we die. Right. If you're trusting in Christ today, you have everlasting life now. Amen. Today. It's everlasting life. Amen. It's never stopping life. It's like when you're laying in that hospital bed with all the tubes in you. It's never going to quit for a moment. If someone puts a bullet through your head, it's not going to stop, because it's everlasting life that you receive the moment you receive Christ as Savior and will remain with you forever. Sometimes we mistakenly think it happens when we die. No, no, you have it now. It's wonderful news. All the news is not good news, because there's actually two places people can go when they die. And it's my duty to tell you about it. I can't just give you half the message. So in Luke 16, there's a story Jesus was telling about a rich man and a beggar. And the beggar was named Lazarus. And it came to verse 22. And it says, and it came to pass the beggar died, that's Lazarus, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. And the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented by this flame. There's two places, my dear, dear friends. And the goal of my life, I mean, I have goals. I want my family to do well. My beautiful daughter sitting here. She was gone for 10 years to Santa Barbara. Now she's back. Praise God. God answers prayer. I have goals for the law firm. But my goal above every goal is the people I know and the people I preach to and the people I love will receive heaven as their home. There's no greater goal in my life than that. And I'll be heartbroken. And Pastor Cedric and Lou Ann and Ed will be heartbroken if someone came here and didn't make heaven their home. So there's two places. So let's talk about how we can be sure we get to the right place. Let's look at John 3:14-17. John 3:14-17, including John 3:16. Let me just back up on 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Yeah. You know, I always have to stop there on that passage and say, it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish. It doesn't say whoever calls themselves a Christian. It doesn't say whoever comes to Celebration Church, although coming is good, because some people could come to Celebration Church and other churches and not believe in Jesus. It doesn't say whoever reads their Bible, or that reading your Bible is good, because some people can read their Bible and not believe in Jesus. It doesn't say whoever prays, because all over the world, millions of people think they're praying to God but don't believe in Jesus. What it says is, whoever believes in Jesus, whoever clings to Jesus, whoever trusts in Jesus, whoever loves Jesus will never perish. And then there's John 6, 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing or none, but raise them up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And that's the goal of preaching and worship, Pastor Luann's worship, is that you might see Jesus. Right. That's our goal. Yeah. If you'll see Jesus in the worship, in the message, in the words, in the Bible, and believe on him, you have everlasting life. Okay, you get everlasting life, but Paul said to die is gain. Why is it gain? Because as it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is why it's gain. One reason. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. The things, the wonderful things, the glorious things, the fantastic, marvelous things that God has prepared for those that love him. That's why it's gain. The wonderful things that are awaiting us on the other side. If you trust in Christ. You know, we talk about heaven. Lisa and I were married. We're going to celebrate our 19th anniversary. Praise God. Thank you. And on our honeymoon, we went to London. And I was looking at the brochures before we went, and I was studying it, and I had a book on London, and I was flying, and I was looking at my book. But it wasn't until I was actually walking the streets of London, holding Lisa's hand, looking up at the buildings, that I actually understood what London was. Right. And that's going to be our experience. It won't be until you're walking the golden streets of heaven, holding the hands of the people who love Jesus before you and Jesus, that you'll really understand this huge gift that God has laid out for us. Can you say with me this morning, to die is gain?
To die is gain.
You know, the other day we flew to Cabo San Lucas. And I had the point, so we flew first class. And that's what I'm talking about. And we were up front, sitting in those big chairs. And they were serving me anything I wanted. But eventually the plane landed. And I had to get off the plane and go see Cabo. You may be having a great life right now, but this plane is going to land. And you're going to have to get off of this life. And if you're trusting in Christ, you've got to go see heaven. Praise God. You know, if you get this one thing right, God will judge your life a huge success. And the one thing is just receiving Christ as Savior. If you get that one thing right and fail at everything else, God will judge your life as a success. You know, a few weeks ago, I buried my mother. And we went out to Placerville, the little cemetery in Placerville, and we laid her body in a white coffin and put yellow roses on it because that was her favorite. And lowered that pretty white coffin into the grave. But I loved my mother. And I wanted something better for her than a white coffin and a spray of yellow flowers. Because that's just a pretty face and a very ugly reality. I wanted something better for her. And I want something better for you. And so years ago, my mom prayed with me to receive Christ as Savior. And I laid her body in that coffin, but she did not die. My mother's alive right now. I want something better for everyone in this room today. So I'm almost through with my message. Would you just bow your heads before I quite finish and just pray with me? If you want this, just pray with me. Just, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Amen. Thank you, guys. I don't know how many people have prayed with me over the years. I bet it's a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone who prayed with me at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let me just tell you a quick story about Billy Graham, and then I'm going to one more thing. Billy Graham was preaching at the Waldorf Astoria, and he was sitting at the up at the table, room full of people, and he needed something outside, and so he had his assistant Ray, and he said, Ray, would you go out to the car and get me such and such? And Ray did. And Ray was coming back in, but the guard stopped him, and Ray did not have his pass anymore to get into that room. And the guard said, you can't come in. And Ray said, no, I've got to help Billy. I'm with Billy. The guard said, no, you don't have a pass. You can't come in. No. And there's this little argument going on over there. And Billy Graham looked over, and he saw it. And he said to the guard, he's with me. That is what you want to hear Jesus say on Judgment Day. She's with me. He's with me. That's everything. Because even though I'm trying my best, my personal righteousness in the sight of a holy God is filthy rags. And can I tell you privately, just between me and you, even though you're trying your best, your personal righteousness in the sight of a holy God is still filthy rags. And the greatest thing you'll ever hear is Jesus say, she's with me. He's with me. That's everything. All right. I'm going to tell you three things in closing. What I believe will happen on the day you die if you're trusting in Christ. On the day you die, if you're trusting in Jesus, I believe, just as Jesus talked about how the angels came to get Lazarus and carried him to Abraham's side, I believe Jesus will send the angels to get you on the day you die and carry you to heaven. Number two, on the day you die, and can you say to die is gain? In fact, you know what I want, guys? Whenever you think about your death or anybody's death, I want you to first say, to die is gain. That's where I want you to be. It doesn't mean there won't be tears. There were plenty of tears at my mom's funeral. But still, to die is gain. Number two, on the day you die, if you're trusting in Jesus, I believe you will begin to experience what human eye has never seen and what human ear has never heard, the wonderful, marvelous, glorious things that God has prepared for those who love him. Number three, the last thing, on the day you die, if you're believing in Christ, if you love Jesus, if you're trusting in him, I believe you'll hear Jesus say to you as you struggle to take your last breath, the same thing he said to the thief on the cross. I believe you'll hear him say to you, as the lights grow dim, as you're wondering and worrying a little bit about it, I believe you'll hear Jesus say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. And on that day, you will know for certain that to die is gain. Thank you, guys. God bless you.